Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Donnie.
And Dana.
And we're from the National Center for Child Protection. So Dana, a week or two ago, we spoke about gender-based violence and recognizing abuse early. But we enjoyed the topic so much that we actually didn't get to everything we wanted to speak about. Now, some of the feedback we've received has actually been quite amazing in terms of questions people had and other things they would like us to just fan out a little bit on that topic. So I want you to just do a quick recap on what you said and then tag me again so I can obviously spill all the dirty secrets that we've got on each other.
Yeah, so gender-based violence is quite a big topic to discuss, especially just in one session. So we thought, you know what, we may as well expand on it a little bit more because it comes out in many different forms. And it's not always just a physical mark on the body where someone can identify and see that someone is being hurt by their partner. It also happens in behavioral changes. It happens in appetite changes, sleeping pattern adjustments, you know, lack of motivation, removing yourself from social settings. A lot of those can be signals and signs that someone is going through something such as, you know, GBV, and they are with a partner that is abusing them in some form of way. So we ended off with the question of, you know, why is it that a woman always runs back to her abuser? And we mentioned how, you know, you can't say that it's just a woman running back to her abuser. Oftentimes men are also dragged through the dirt and they are also victimized and bullied and targeted. And just from a woman's perspective in terms of a woman running back, remember, if you are with a partner and you are only shown one side or one version of what love is, that is your norm. That is your reality. That adrenaline rush that you get where your endorphins are released through your body, immediately it's like riding a roller coaster. You get that rush through your body and you start to crave that rush. You crave that feeling with time. That's similar to being in a GBV relationship. That woman or that man, what happens is they're so used to being on edge. They're so used to being on the edge of their seat, constantly fighting, that when they have peace and calmness, it actually feels abnormal for them. They don't know what to do with themselves because they're like, well, this isn't right. Something feels out of the ordinary. And therefore, they want to return to their past. They want to return to that feeling of feeling this adrenaline rush the whole time because they are craving that spike in adrenaline, which is very sad. But Donnie, over to you.
So you actually said it so nicely, and for people that were wondering, yeah, Dana's the clever one between the two of us. That's why she uses all the bigger words. But you're 100% correct, and that's why. And I've heard it myself before, you are boring. Because I don't supply someone with that constant being on edge, having to be, because I don't go out and jaw. So my partner doesn't have to be jealous. She doesn't have to wonder where I am and what I'm doing. But if she's craving that constant up and down like a roller coaster, as she said it so nicely, they're looking for that adrenaline rush to the top of the roller coaster before that feeling of release when the roller coaster goes down, then I'm never going to be the partner that they're looking for because I'm boring. I am boring and I'm very happy to be boring. And you said it so nicely around people going back to partners. So I've, especially within child protection, we've kind of worked with a lot of dads that have gone back to very manipulative, narcissistic ex-wives because then they'll see their kids more. Because they're not threatened. So they'll rather be in an unhappy marriage and have time with their kids than be divorced or away from their ex-partner and then not see their kids and go through all of those roller coasters and so forth. So that is, I think, very important. People get to that comfortable place where they're like, no, I would much rather have that bad boy. I don't know when he's going to pitch up. I don't know when he's going to threaten to hit me. I don't know when he's going to send me nasty stuff or I'm going to find him speaking to other women on his phone. I'd much rather have that and that excitement and it keeps me young and alive than have that boring kind of person that just cares for you, loves you, which sounds stupid if you put it out like that. But unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. So one of the big challenges, obviously, is that your person that's being abused has this massive fear of speaking out, because the person that they're in a relationship with, that person at home, is not the same person in public. So all the people see this person and they're like, wow, you are so lucky to have this person in your life. This person is so amazing. This person is great. Oh, they're so friendly. They look so nice. But behind closed doors, they are monsters. And we see that quite often. And people allow that because you want to continuously believe that this person that the general public sees is real. But that person isn't real. That's the character that they play. The real person is the one at home that never says something good about you, that never compliments, that never looks at you and says, you know what, you look beautiful today. No, that person is not real. The person at home, that's the real version. The one when you're all alone and there's no likes on social media, there's no follows on social media, there's no outside attention that, oh, amazing. What they've done by doing it that way is they've taken away the people that you can speak to. Because it would be obviously be ideal to go and speak to the people that know you best. But you can't go to a sister, a mother, a brother, an uncle, or aunt for advice if the picture that they've got of somebody is a complete fake. So you'll go to them and say, you know what, you won't believe me, but this person is abusing me. And they'll say, oh no, you must misunderstand. You probably misunderstood. And that's, I think, the scary place, because then people tend to not believe you, firstly. And then secondly, they begin to think that you're not okay. And guess what the abuser's going to tell them? You're not okay. You're mentally unstable. There's things wrong with you. And we need to get to a place where we know ourselves good enough and well enough so that we know what we allow and don't allow. And then it doesn't matter that this person's been playing people. We've both seen it, and we've spoken to so many people that have been in a relationship with an abusive person, a narcissist. And that narcissist fooled everybody around them. The person, unfortunately, that really breaks down is the innocent party that was a bystander who got abused and hurt. And then again, it's because the boring people like me, we can't find people. We can't find partners because people don't want boring. They want this person that is out there on everywhere and everybody's, oh, it's so amazing and you're so lucky to have them. But that person then breaks you when you at home telling you things like, you know what? We are going out. Why do you look like that? That's not being dressed up. You don't even look pretty. And that lady continuously then works to get his approval, bypassing the people that tell her she looks good even when she is only in her washing dishes clothing. So let's make sure that we have an option for people to speak out, because that fear of speaking out is something that leads people to self-harm, to suicide. Narcissists are also very good at victim blaming. So everything is your fault. It's your fault this happens. It's your fault. We always tease in the office. Dana has a way of always blaming me for everything. We normally speak about the three. She needs at least three steps. Sometimes she gets it right in the first step. We've got victim blaming. Now, obviously, that's just a joke in the office. But victim blaming, you made me act this way. You made me ignore you. You made me go out with my friends and have a drink. Because you make being alone at home with you too much. Unbearable. That's the pretty word. See, I told you guys she's the clever one. And you make it unbearable. So I made a mistake, but I'm never going to own up to it. I'm going to blame it on you. We then, Dana, need to make sure in our relationship with I Am Youth and Radio Pulpit, we need to make sure that men and women have a place where they can go when things are not going well. They need somebody to speak to. We need to offer them not only a safe reporting mechanism, we also need to have these workshops so that these people that have been abused can see that there's other people, because guess what? They're going to start speaking and they're going to find out that everybody else has the same story. The small details change, the name, the date, the place. but they do exactly the same thing. It's always your fault. It's always you. You the reason that I have to act this way. Are you happy now that I had to beat you? Are you happy that I had to hit you? I had to calm you down. The slap was because you were not calm. And that is my biggest concern.
So for anyone that needs support or anyone that needs help, you know, to get out of a sticky situation, or just purely to speak to someone, because as Dani mentioned, rightfully so, when you are in a relationship that's quite toxic, often so you don't go to your family and friends because you don't want to make them see your partner in a different way. And you are also maybe running your partner down the whole time and they keep telling you on repeat, leave them, they're not good for you. And you just don't listen. And they're tired of listening to your stories now. So if you are feeling that way, please reach out to us. We've got a counseling hotline. It's free of charge for the counseling services offered online. Thanks to Radio Pulpit and I Am Youth and our amazing relationship with them, this free resource is available to you. So you can contact us on 076-037-6345. That's 076-037-6345. Send us a WhatsApp. We'll be able to guide you through the steps, get you a counselor, or better yet, keep an eye out on our Facebook page for webinars that we do monthly, and you'll be able to see that there's multiple support groups that are available to you where you can join in on a webinar. It's also free of charge, and you'll have a counselor and a person that's a specialist in the field who will be discussing things and coping tools and mechanisms with you to ensure that you are equipped to get through whatever it may be that you are facing. So please, don't be in this alone. You are not alone. You've got a lot of support and people who care. So reach out to us.
Connecting you with Christ. Download our app and listen to our podcasts.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
The Word for You Today is our youth devotional that has been available as a printed booklet and has also been accessible via email. It is intended to encourage and guide young people in their walk with God. Well, we are excited to announce that the youth devotional is going fully digital. This means that the Word for You Today booklet will no longer be available in hard copy or sent by post, but it will still be accessible on the I Am Youth website, email subscription, and I Am Youth app, which is available on both the Google Play Store and App Store for iPhone users. Visit www.imymovement.co.za and join the move to digital.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.